Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm gonna get him!
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Folks, we broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Do we have, we have audio. Are we going out? Or what do you think? All right. Folks, we're simulcast also as well on the Global Star or on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live by archive on our YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com, click on the right there in the box there for our live YouTube channel. Or just please, folks, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com, follow the links to subscribe. We really, really would appreciate you subscribing. It does help our visibility when you do that. So we appreciate everyone who has done that and everyone who will do that. So thank you so much. And don't forget, folks, we've got really three different websites. The first, HagmanandHagman.com. That's where the show airs, and that's where the show, you can get all of the archives and such right there on HagmanandHagman.com. HagmanReport.com is full of news, information, articles, analysis, that type of thing. And then my personal website, which is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's going to be coming live this weekend. I've just got some finishing touches to do on that. Of course, I've been busy. And I want to thank everyone. I just really want to thank everyone for making my book, Stained by Blood, causing it sales on Amazon. It's in the top 100 of its genre. I want to thank everyone who has purchased it and thank everyone who has written an honest review about it. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope you enjoyed it. I'm getting some good feedback on it, so thank you so much for that. And again, it's available on Amazon, and that's Stained by Blood. And thank you so much for that. That represents a big part of my life, and represents it's kind of a painful story. And yesterday, Joe had asked me some questions about it, and I just want to say, you know, it's a book that Christians. It's kind of a cross between a whodunit. Is that a word? Who done it? and kind of like an introduction with Russ Dizdar's. It's a phrase, I guess. With Russ Dizdar's, getting into Russ Dizdar's area. And that was that represents my initial exposure to that. So thank you so much for everyone for helping me get through get into the top 100 of its genre. And I'd be higher, actually, if it wasn't for the 4 dozen O.J. Simpson books out there. Apparently, the popularity of the miniseries about O.J. Simpson has brought out the writers, and of course,
well, yeah,
it's okay.
What is it with that? I don't know. The hype behind the O.J. I understand the hype behind the Hitler, bringing back Hitler's
right.
The Nazi regime and looking back into that and seeing. Taking, there's a new generation of people But, I mean, I remember watching O.J. happen. I remember sitting with your dad and my grandpa.
Right, right.
As a Bills fan, he was. Not just, I mean, he couldn't believe O.J. Simpson was, he was watching what he was watching. I remember he was very disappointed that day in O.J. Simpson.
That day, huh? Yeah, I'm not so sure what
the day the Bronco, he was on the, in the back of the Bronco.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not so sure what the actual, what would you call it? The voyeuristic, aspect of the O.J. Simpson case is now.
I was in high school or middle school or high school when the verdict came out.
Right.
And they brought a TV into our room to see the verdict.
Really? Mm-hmm. For that?
Yep. I think I was at a Catholic school.
For the verdict of O.J. Simpson?
Yeah. Anybody, do you remember what year it was?
1995, I believe.
So,
but okay. So, well, I'm just
in
wondering.
Middle school, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So take you know.
I've been at Sacred Heart.
Okay. Wow. Just considering, why is it on now? Why is the big push about OJ on now? And I would contend, you know, reading from the Tavistockian notes. Man, I kind of think that perhaps there might be some issues there where they're trying to push this racial divide. That's just my thought. I don't know. Or it could be just mere entertainment. What people would consider entertainment with respect to bringing on the miniseries. Why now? I like to ask questions like that. I don't know, folks. Do you? Why now? Why this particular murder case? Why not? Well, why not bring up the Kennedy assassination? Or why not bring up the Sam Shepard case of the 50s? Or why not? Yeah, who? That's the case, the movie and the book, The Fugitive. The movie and the television series, The Fugitive, was based off
Harrison
of.
Ford.
Boy. Can you tell the younger generation, folks? Harrison Ford? No, I remember way back when. But anyway. So all of these, but I do believe that there's some predictive programming here, or this attempt to expand the racial divide. That's my kind of that's my thinking behind this. I could be totally wrong. It could be just nothing but entertainment and money behind it. I don't know. Folks, we're gonna have a relaxed show tonight a little bit. Billy Crone was on last night. The posting of Billy Crone's YouTube for last night's show, that'll go up after tonight's broadcast, but what a great show that was. Did you think about, folks, did you hear Billy Crone's that program from last night? Did you hear that? What a great show that was.
Oh, I missed it.
You missed it. Well, yeah, you.
No, that was a fantastic show.
I thought it was great. We had a lot of people saying, wow, what a great pastor. Pastor Billy Crone. And getalifemedia.com. Yeah, it's getalifemedia.com for his website.
And sign up for his newsletter. Check out his... Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of DVDs that he sells, but he also has a lot of free... the DVDs he puts on his website for free. And, you know, from the RFID, Mark of the Beast DVD, to the Attack of the Drones, Skynet is Coming, to one I was watching yesterday about UFOs and the demon... The UFO deception.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of his DVDs on his website. You can look at them. You know, I mean, you can download them for nothing. It's not a money thing. You know, it's pretty cool. It's really great. So again, I just want to thank everyone one more time. I want to thank you so much. And if you have my book, and again, this represents a big part of my life in terms of the direction. It kind of the direction I took. It kind of gives it. It really kind of lays out my life. And drop me a line. Tell me how you liked it, or didn't like it, or thought it was way off base. I'd be more than happy to hear. Or better yet, just go on Amazon and leave a review, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Just tell the truth.
Yeah, just tell the truth, indeed. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now, and we need to take some time to take a look at the headlines and take a look at what's behind the headlines. And tonight, that's exactly what we're going to do. The how many believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be indicted for her crimes, for her email? The State Department halts top secret Hillary investigation.
I mean, the already proven felony act of having classified material transferring private servers to, you know, from her home in her bathroom in a Colorado home using outside of governmental sources. The emails have come out once, twice, three times, different leaks and dumps, each dump becoming worse and more classified materials shown to be leaked with more, what's the word I'm looking for? With more, the guiltier, each dump that comes, the guiltier she becomes.
Right. Well, the State Department stopped their investigation, and the reason they gave, this according to spokeswoman Elizabeth Trudeau, she said Friday the department had paused the review because they did not want to interfere with an ongoing FBI investigation into Clinton's use of a private server when she was America's top, you know, head diplomat, if you will.
Didn't the head of the FBI interview her today, James Comey?
The FBI isn't. I'm not sure if it was today or if when that is scheduled. I have a feeling we're being misled on dates, times, and methods and such with respect to the FBI. Now, having said all of that, what, you know, where do we stand here? And it makes me laugh a little bit. Politico is reporting that Huma Abedin, on her emails being out there, it's terrifying, okay? And, she, and now Huma Abedin, for those people who don't know, is Clinton, Hillary Clinton's,
bodyguard,
best friend,
political confident. Advisor,
right. Right. The wife of
Wiener.
Wiener. Yeah.
Which,
well,
I don't know how that works, but
well, I just don't know. But Huma certainly is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, or has connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. The degrees of separation there, but the State Department publicly released thousands of emails, of Clinton's emails, even ones that said were said not to have existed or were destroyed on the server, but nonetheless. And a lot of them were to Huma Abedin. And this after, of course, it was discovered that she was using a private email server, as you said, in her home. And, of course, Brian Pagliano was the head of the, or was actually the caretaker, if you will, of the server. Brian Pagliano. And we reported on this back in the summertime. And, well, anyway. It's interesting because Huma Abedin hasn't, and I'm quoting here now from Politico, she said she hasn't freshly read any of her email exchanges with Hillary Clinton that have been released by the State Department. But she said, you know, it's terrifying to know that the email messages are out there. It's something, and I'm quoting now, it's something I can't really think about, but I can't imagine what's in those emails. Okay, well, you sent them to you sent them to your boss, or maybe not, maybe it was pillow talk.
Were there
because,
any emails
wait,
that Hillary Clinton
wait,
sent
wait.
To any dead people?
No, but maybe some chickens. Them are chickens. No, but listen to this. I gotta tell you this because I got to finish this. It's something I really can't think about, but I can't even imagine what's in those emails. This is by Huma. But I'm sure I would probably be more afraid. I've got no idea. I haven't read any of them, Abedin, who served as Clinton's top aides in the Senate, said in an interview with a podcast, and I love this title, okay? Call Your Girlfriend. That's the title of the podcast. All right. Anyway, it just seems so appropriate. You can't make this stuff up. So the State Department released the emails from Clinton, including many messages to and from her aides after it was discovered she used a private email server. And so now Huma is saying, oh, man, I can't go back and read those. No, I can't do that. All right. It's these articles and stories and investigative reports are so shallow when it comes to what's going on here. Have you noticed that? Nobody's really reporting the deep muck that's in these emails. Now, what we're planning on doing, so you don't have to, is tying up Eric to the chair, Eric the Tech to the chair, and making him go through the emails. Because he's Eric the Tech and he can do it. We downloaded the emails onto a different server, onto a different hard drive, and So that's his weekend homework assignment. And of course, we're gonna report back to you next week. But anyway, seriously though, I really, 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 really believe that there's nothing going to be done to Hillary. That's my thought, and I believe that in the end, that you're gonna see the first woman president of the United States. I truly believe that to be the case at this point. That is presupposing, of course, that we have an election. Do you think that, Joe? Do you think?
What do you think? I think we'll have an election.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, are you going to have a horse race, for example, and when the entire race is thrown anyway, it doesn't matter who wins. If the jockeys and the outriders or outriggers or whatever they're called, outriders, I guess, and you know, all the bookies know the outcome ahead of time. The people in power, if they know the outcome ahead of time, does it really matter who's in charge? No, I don't think so. And I do believe that as well, that we are going to see we're going to see something happen with respect to the Republican or the RNC this coming week, or this coming summer.
I would keep a close eye on news about a couple of the Republican primary candidates and sexual scandals.
Right. The D.C. madam, who is no longer with us.
About that.
Oh, yes, of course. We mentioned this briefly,
I
too.
I know, yesterday.
But see,
Wednesday.
And I like the way this guy did this. Basically, if it's kind of a drop-dead switch, if you will. What the D.C. madam's attorney did, who's got possession of her little black book with all the numbers
now,
and such.
I don't know if we went over who the D.C. madam was on air.
Let's do it.
D.C. madam was, she was a, ran a call girl operation for highly...
Inside the Beltway.
Yeah,
right.
Politicians and people inside Washington, D.C. Ended up being some very powerful people that were on her client list.
Or on her client list. That's,
yeah, I'm sorry.
That's pretty cool. No, that's actually best appropriate.
So, and folks, if you want to watch her interview with Alex Jones where she talked about the evidence she had and that she did not plan on killing herself and what she planned on doing, she said in her words, "I am going to expose these people. I'm going to bring down Washington." He went on to ask her, "Are you going to kill yourself? Do you have any plans of committing suicide?" She said, and I'm paraphrasing, "Absolutely not."
Meanwhile, see, this is what happened to her.
Her mother found her hanging in the garage or shed a few days later.
I'm not making fun, you know, to those listening and not seeing. I just kind of hung myself with my tie. But isn't it interesting that we have... And it's not surprising. It's just I just find it. I find it sad that we've got a death of a woman that, you know, days or I don't even know how long after she said she's not going to kill herself, they find her dead and hanging in the outside garage area, and you have to ask yourself, well, where's the follow up investigation? Where's the investigation? So the attorney has the emails. Or has the little black book, publishes it online, but it's limited. So, and attaches basically a timer to it. And these are layman's terms, because I'm a layman when it comes to this stuff. So if he does not stop it, for example, if someone would take him out, and I'm not talking about on a date, but take him out in a larger sense, that black book would actually be made known to numerous journalists and it would be sent all over the place.
Smart.
Right. So he's got to physically stop it. So
that's worrisome, though. I mean, why not just release it?
Well, and you know, that's the other side of the coin. Why is no one asking that obvious question? Why not just release it and let the chips fall where they may? Because I certainly wouldn't expect to be covered by... just let them fall where they may. But... my thinking, and folks, what's yours? My thinking is this. If they have, when I say they, I'm talking about anybody. If somebody's got information that's extortable or can be used for extortion, blackmail, it's worth more to those people. See, once it's kind of like
I
a
had
bullet.
The goods
once you
on
fire
Trump.
It,
let's say Trump had some dirt on him, and I had the goods.
Right. Right. Let's just say that.
I would not go on TV, radio, write an article, or say anything to the that I'm going, you know.
You're just going to do it,
in
right?
7 days, or in 3 days, or in 2 months, or on this date,
right.
I'm going to release this evidence. Nor would I go to Donald Trump and say, hey, I got something that's worth money to you.
Well, why not? Because...
because I would... just release it.
Right. That's the...
And I would just release it and let it happen, let it go where it may.
Yeah, well, okay, so that's where we're at with this. What is the... What's the end game plan here? I don't care what they're saying, what anyone is saying. What's the game plan here and who's involved? I think we can probably... if this does not get released, why not? What prevented the release? Was it an extortion payment, a blackmail payment? Or was it a change of heart, or what was it? And I can guarantee to you it was not a change of heart. So there has to be some equitable or some exchange here for the not releasing it. And I do believe that information doesn't indict not just the Republicans, of course, but all across the board, all throughout the annals of D.C. I believe everyone involved in that inside the Beltway. Any guy, and even some women, I'm sure. Now, Hillary Clinton, I don't know. But he said it would shake up the election. So, okay, would it be Trump? Probably not. He's not, he's geographically not necessarily in that area. And does that book go out elsewhere? Or does that client list go out elsewhere? Certainly.
I don't want to speculate.
But I think it would be Cruz or one of the other people.
I heard this, and this is not confirmed. This is speculation. Okay. But the... person running against Trump in the primaries, who's pretty much the only guy left with a chance, or I don't even know if he has a chance, but the only person the news is promoting instead of Trump in the Republican primaries is in that book.
Huh.
Not sure.
Wait a second. Who are you saying is in that book? Just let me...
you said his name just a minute.
Okay, so you... I'm not
saying that's true.
No, nor am I. I would speculate that it would be Cruz to make a difference.
Anonymous apparently leaked the D.C. Madam's call log.
Right.
And his info's all in and out of there.
But, okay, my question is, apparently, though, can it be authenticated allegedly. By the, you know... But can it be authenticated, of course, by the holder... of the book, because
and this
custodial chain of evidence is important here.
Yeah, you know, somebody could have put his name in there intentionally to defraud him of his good name and reputation.
Yeah, but and that's one thing. If you're the attorney for the deceased, and I don't want to bore everyone, but bottom line is, if you're the attorney for the deceased, you can identify a piece of evidence, and that's the chain of custody. That's authenticating the evidence. So, in other words, when you're asked to testify under oath, is that, for example, is that the gun that killed Jane Doe? Yeah, yes, it is. I can identify it, you know, as a police officer or whatever through the markings. Well, that attorney would say, yes, that's the little black book, or that's the black book of names and numbers that I know to be involved with, associated with the D.C. Madam and her name. So the authentication by the source is important, as opposed to what Anonymous posts, not saying it's not true, it's just saying in terms of authenticating and verifying. All right, Mike, there's a question out there, too. Moving along here, we have to take a look, and Maria Kanis had said this week and talked about Beltane, talked about the reproductions of the 48-foot tall arch that's in front of the Temple of Baal in Syria. Now it's going to be put up in Times Square in New York City and in London as well, 13 days before.
Belgium, they're going to be putting up in Belgium.
Yep.
200-plus across the world.
Well, actually, 1,000.
1,000.
1,000. Now, okay, that's not, when you say 200 plus, there's...
I mean, yeah, as far as what I read, yes. Yeah,
well, there's actually plans for 1,000. Now, and Maria Kanis had spoken about this, the 1,000 points of light, which I think is important. But the...
New York and London.
London, New York, right. And it's 13 days prior to May 1st, which is Beltane. It's the cold holiday of Beltane. And if you don't know what Beltane is, it's a very sacred time for the occultists, for the pagans, for the Satanists. Beltane kicks off May. It's got a long and very rich history.
WorldNet Daily has an article about this, and I just want to jump in here. If I can.
Sure.
Temple of Baal going up in New York and London. This is what they say. Visitors next month to Times Square in New York or to Leicester Square in London are in for a culture shock as a life-size reproduction of the Temple of Baal. Needless to say, the exhibition of a symbol of paganism, child sacrifice, and ritual prostitution, well known to readers of the Bible, has raised concerns. There's nothing pagan about this. Paganism is not Satanism.
Well, when I say pagan, you know...
No, I'm reading from the article.
Okay.
They say, needless to say, the exhibition of a symbol of paganism. This is not paganism. Folks need to understand. Paganism is completely different from Luciferianism, which is completely different from Satanism.
Which is completely different from Christianity. We know that. But
right.
I had to say it.
And you know, people have the definitions and the terminology has changed through generation to generation, the century to century, from era to era. So you know what the real root word meaning of it is. I don't know.
Front door alarm. Sorry about that.
But the Catholic Encyclopedia here. Let's see what they say. The Catholic Encyclopedia says paganism in the broadest sense includes all religions other than the true one revealed by God, and in a narrower sense, all except Christianity, Judaism, and Mohammedism. The term is also used as the equivalent of polytheism. It's derived from the Latin pagus, whence pagani, whose name given to the country folk who remained a heathen after the cities had become Christian. Various forms of paganism are described in special articles. Brahmanism, Buddhism, Mithraism, and the present article deals only with certain aspects of paganism in general, will be helpful in studying details and judging this value. Now, that's the Catholic encyclopedia or dictionary description of paganism. Others refer to it as a wide variety of traditions that emphasize reverence for nature and a revival in ancient polytheistic religious
right.
practices.
And here is the and here's the rub with respect to Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. The occult religions are really into Earth worship, Mother Earth, Gaia worship. This is all interchangeable or very closely related to what we're seeing here.
And that's more along the lines of, and this is going to sound weird, Satanism. Many people think Satanism is the belief in Satan. Well, it's more of an anti, not that, I mean, I've done some studying on this. Luciferianism is the belief that Lucifer is the one and true God. That is the real what you would call satanic worship is called Luciferianism.
That's correct. I suppose we probably should readily define these terms, okay, or at least be careful with the terms because we can paganism and Luciferianism they're not interchangeable. There's different branches, much like there are different branches of or different denominations of Christianity. There are also different branches of Luciferianism. All right. And none of them are good in that respect, obviously. But I just want to mention that, every month of May, that's the occult holiday of Beltane. And it's a fire festival. It's celebrated on May 1st with bonfires, maypoles. That's where we get the name maypoles, dancing, and sex. All right, because the Celts honored the fertility of gods with gifts and offerings, sometimes included animal or human sacrifice. Cattle were driven through the smoke of the sexual balefires and blessed with health and fertility for the coming year. At least that's what they believed. Now, oh boy. This is an important topic. And again, I don't want to, but I will. You know what? I will anyway. I really first, again, I got my real look into this back in 1987. And I and I, for those who didn't hear it before, I did not understand what I was looking at. I didn't understand what a Baphomet was. I didn't understand what an Ankh was. Yeah, an Ankh. You know, the cross with a little, like.
Oh, the circle.
Like half, no, no, the cross with a little, like half of a, what would you call it? Like a C, letter C above it. Okay. I never understood what those things were. And, you know, I wouldn't expect people to, at this point, to understand that either. But, you'd be surprised what you find out when you start setting out to do some research. And I think it's important for people to understand that right now the Illuminati agenda, the Illuminati matrix, the unveiling and revelation of what we're seeing, the skull and bones and Illuminati right now, all of this is being exposed because it's time.
Yeah.
You know,
the UN has, in August of 2014, the 69th session, item 19H of the agenda, they released a document, A/69/322, Harmony with Nature. And what this is, it's an introduction to a new belief in harmony with nature. And we can get into this because it's part of the Agenda 21 and Agenda 23.
Oh, we really do need to. Yes, I think so. Go on.
It talks about the purpose of the fourth interactive dialogue on harmony with nature was to examine the evolution of science, governance, economics, in the light of new understandings of our interconnectedness with nature, which in turn have led to practices that further ethical relationships between humanity, Earth, life, in harmony with nature. It goes on to state that the UN Conference on Sustainable Development held in Rio in 2012, the heads of state government adopted a document entitled The Future We Want. Now that's Resolution 66-288, which is part of the post 2015 developmental agenda, which became the 2030 agenda. Anyway, it goes on to say that they recognize Earth as Mother Earth, and in order to achieve a just balance among the economy and social and environmental needs of the present and future generations, it is necessary to promote harmony with nature. In doing so, they're going to create a universal declaration of human rights for Mother Earth. These initiatives will be based on sustainable development governance, including policy documents calling for new paradigm for living well in harmony with nature. They're going to develop rights of nature through legislation in a number of countries worldwide and use the term Mother Earth in a wider recognition.
And this, just so people know, this is why this is why we're being pushed into container apartments. Not we personally, but you know, this fad. Let's lower our carbon footprint. And this is why it applies. People say, well, you know, for example, if Obama was concerned about his carbon footprint, wouldn't he be taking the vacations he's been taking? Well, that's not the issue, because it doesn't apply to the powers that be. No, 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 no. This applies to you and I, where we are forced to, we're forced not to take a plane or not to travel. I mean, we're forced into these small container apartments. And we are told that this is the fad. This is chic. This is the way to go. I shouldn't say fad. This is the way to go. And that's what we're faced with because of the Earth. And I don't believe that the Earth cannot handle the population.
No.
I have a real problem with that.
Every person in the world could fit in the city of Jacksonville is the biggest city in the world per square mile. Everybody in the world could fit in Jacksonville with their hands stretched out, according to a documentary I watched.
Well, and whether or not that itself is true, I don't know, but
even
it doesn't matter.
Say America.
Right.
I mean, how much space does that leave us with?
Yeah.
When we first flew to Montana and back,
there's a lot of
time to Dallas,
real estate down there, man.
That's all there is.
I mean,
and I know a lot of it is farm-based,
and there's
agricultural,
a lot of
but
grub land, yeah.
At the same time, we see the federal government swooping in and privatizing lands for federal use
right.
in
right.
purposes for taking resources from underneath those lands, also for the purpose of the UN's Agenda 21, living in harmony with nature. They want to cordon off 50% of the world from people. They don't want people to be able to access 50% of our world.
Well,
because they want the environment to be rejuvenated. Now, God set a standard with farming and agriculture.
Yes.
Letting the land rest every 7 years.
Hence the name or the reference to Jubilee year.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, is that not where it comes from?
Yes, it does. And today we see, though, this, you know, in watching Pastor Billy Crone's UFO documentary yesterday, he talked about the lie of evolution and how it is aligned with the UFO / demonic phenomenon and the lies that were being told, from UFOs being able to shut down missiles to they're going to come here, aliens are going to come here and help us, help mankind to, you know, learn how to live right and justly off the land. There is a lot here that is, I don't know, I guess questionable as to their intentions. Their agenda is that they will continue to push us into smaller spaces, into closer city, you know, more intense, more packed cities.
Right, right.
At the same time, they're cutting off natural resources, selling water from the Great Lakes to China. You know, there's one example. Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory, I think
Saudi Arabia bought land here in the United States for ostensibly to and I don't know how many people saw this. Saudi Arabia bought 14,000 acres of land in the United States specifically to raise hay, to grow hay. Now, you've got to ask yourself, okay, does that even make sense? All right, does that make sense?
Yeah,
I don't think so. But ostensibly to grow this hay and to ship it out back to Saudi Arabia. So what's the purpose of the land purchase?
That's a good question. And, you know, we, going back to this Harmony with Nature document, they talk about, as humans, we have a moral responsibility that they need a legislative system of earth-based law to mirror our expanding scientific and ethical awareness of our place on Earth.
Right.
They want to adopt ordinances specifically recognized an enforceable right of natural communities and ecosystems to exist and flourish. They go on to say they want to expand they want to extend rights to nature in the same way that rights have been extended to humankind. Rights of nature are becoming part of the international discussions on matters pertaining to environmental justice. They want to establish a constitution to the rights of nature that should be taken into account in an integral manner, including maintenance, recognition of its cycles, functions, evolutionary processes, and the right to restoration. They want to establish a world court that will uphold the laws of the constitution of the world and charge those who are found to be violators. The law on the rights of Mother Earth, they say, are going to grant her the following 7 rights. The right to life and to exist. The right not to have her cellular structure modified or genetically altered. The right to pure water. The right to clean air. The right to balance. The right to continue vital cycles and processes free from human alterations. And the right not to be polluted.
So, but all of this, and this sounds, this may to you sound incredibly boring because, oh my goodness, but no, 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 listen, because there's some information here that will affect all of our lives. And if we don't pay attention to what's going on, it's kind of like one of those things that's boring, so you don't really pay attention to it, and it slips right underneath your radar. And what does this have to do with anything kind of thing? But no, it has everything to do with everything that's going on today in this push for this Agenda 2030 and the way that we are going to be living
right.
our lives.
So. And my question is, the okay, what they say is the constitution of Mother Earth and the 7 rights. One of the rights here is the structure, or the right to not have the cellular structure modified or genetically altered.
But what are they doing?
Exactly. What are GMOs? And then beyond that, why are they not allowed to label genetically modified foods? Why is Monsanto the number one insecticide producer manipulating every single vegetation on Earth. The right to pure water.
Right.
Why are they fluoridating our water? Is it the water only to be pure for the Earth and not for the humans on the Earth? This is what the Bible says about worshiping the creation more than the Creator. This is what the Bible says about being turned over to a reprobate mind, submitting themselves to ungodliness and thinking they're doing right, believing they're doing good when it's actually evil, when evil is good and good is evil. It's just unbelievable to me to see they are, we have half of the population of the world is under conditions that are basically a day-to-day starvation or disease, death-ridden culture. But what they want to do is focus their efforts on the environment and the rights of the world. I bet part of the rights of the world that are not in here are what's on the Georgia Guidestones, which are to reduce humanity.
Exactly, exactly.
And not only this, what they want to do is they go on to say that to resolve these issues in the 21st century with institutions and functions such as the legal system and legislative bodies, they want to do so a reform or intergovernmental system that will not only change the societal actions needed toward sustainable development. They want to change the behavioral of individual, the behavior of individual citizens.
Yeah.
In order to achieve progress at an effective level for sustainable development for the Earth's well-being.
Well, this goes back to the climate madness that we saw, ClimateGate and such.
And that's not over.
No. Al Gore's movie, you know, Inconvenient Truth. And how many people still are you know, adherent to that? And wow. To refresh people's memory.
I never watched it.
An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's film and book, on the planetary emergency of global warming, what could be done about it. It purports to be this non-political, non-ideological exposition of climate science and moral common sense.
This from a presidential candidate?
You know, yeah.
Vice president?
This is just ridiculous. There were three different papers. We're going back into 2007, that congressional working paper titled Al Gore's Science Fiction, A Skeptic Guide to the Inconvenient Truth, Skeptic's Primer and Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, and then some convenient distortions, the on point, some convenient distortions. It provides a brief overview of the major flaws of Gore's writing. But, you know, once more, we look at the climate change as being it's the tactic of the globalists.
And right. The Bible tells us that in the end days there will be changes in the earth. There will be more earthquakes. There will be signs in the heavens. Animals will die, disappear. Things will happen. Rivers will dry up. Droughts and famines will be throughout the land. Wars will decimate areas that were, you know, in like Syria, the oldest inhabited city in the world.
Damascus.
Just like it says in Isaiah 17, behold, Damascus shall become a ruinous heap. We're seeing that today. And for these people, and this, the reason I brought up this Harmony with Nature document from the UN, because it deals with two things that I wanted to talk on today. One is something I just mentioned, which is behavior modification in order to make people in order to change people so that they adhere to the new constitution of Mother Earth. Basically, re-education for people for the sake of nature.
Right. We see this in the stack and pack cities, the relocation, forced relocation into these stack and pack cities.
And the second, which they talk about, is that we have to have a collective consciousness.
Right.
And this is the second point I want to talk about, because the collective consciousness is part of what we talk about as the New Age religion. Alice Bailey wrote a book called The Reappearance of the Christ. In it is a 10-point plan of rebellion. And we'll start with just number 10 today. Destroy the church concept, make them appear crazy and delusional. Add non-biblical ideas, mix paganism with their lifestyle, destroy them with everything in your power.
Yep.
Now, she's promoting this in a book where she talks about the worldly Christ coming. That there is going to be a man who comes on the stage who is our Savior, the Avatar, as Russ Dizdar would say, or as Alice Bailey would say. The coming one, the Christ. They dare not say Jesus. They just say Christ. And in this, they go on to state that throughout the ages, all throughout world cycles and in all countries, great points of tensions have occurred, which have been characteristics by a hopeful sense of expectancy. Someone is expected and his coming is anticipated. Always in the past, it has been the religious teachers of the period who foster the proclamation of expectancy, and the time has always been when out of one of chaos and difficulty. The coming of the Avatar, the advent of the coming one, in terms of today, the reappearance of the Christ, are keynotes of the prevalent expectancy. When the times are ripe, the invocation of the masses is enough, and the faith of those who know is keen enough, he will come. And he will come today and will be no exception to this ancient rule or this universal law. For decades, the reappearance of the Christ, the Avatar, has been anticipated by the faithful in both hemispheres. Not only by the Christian faithful, but by those who look for the Maitreya, for the Buddha, as well as those who expect the Imam Mahdi. When they feel that they have exhausted all their own resources and have come to an end of all their own innate possibilities, and that the problems and conditions confronting them are beyond their solving or ability to solve or handle, they are apt to look for a divine intermediary and for the mediator who will plead their cause with God and bring about a rescue. They look for a savior. This doctrine of mediators, of messiahs, of Christ, and of avatars can be found running like a golden thread through all the world faiths and scriptures, and relating these world scriptures to some central sort of emanation. They are found in rich abundance everywhere. Even every human soul is a relationship between man and God. Christ is believed by countless millions to act as a divine mediator between humanity and divinity. The whole system of spiritual revelation is based and has always been based on this doctrine of interdependence. Now it goes on to say that the coming one is an avatar with a peculiar capacity to transmit energy and divine power. He will be the Christ, but not the Christ that we,
well,
as Christians,
yeah,
expect.
And this is important for people to understand, okay? In the belief systems of the people who are adherent to these different philosophies, the Hindus believe one, Muslims believe another, Christians believe Jesus, of course, which is the most logical historically, and I mean, that's unquestionable. And to suggest otherwise would be foolish given at least the historical evidence. And then we can argue this all day long. I'm not going to with somebody
what's important here is they says the coming world savior, the Christ will come at a time of crisis when the world is seeking a savior. He will be their savior. Now he's coming as a man, they say.
Well, yes, but yes, go on.
Now, obviously, for those Christians who know their God and their Bible, we know how Jesus returns. He already came as a man.
Right, exactly. But the Antichrist will come as a man, in my view, is walking the earth today, and will be possessed, I believe. Right? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, not only is he coming, his hierarchy of coming ones will be with him, as they say, the hierarchy of the Christ. This is part of the New World religion. It is apparent that it is only possible to indicate the broad general outlines of the new world religion. The expansion of human consciousness will take place as a result of the coming approach, which will enable humanity to grasp not only its relation to spiritual life, but to our planet, the one in whom we live and more and have our being, but also give a glimpse of the relation of our planet to the circle of planetary lives moving with the orbit of the sun and still greater circle of spiritual influences. They go on to say that they're going to, in this new world religion, will be the future, will prove with greater accuracy than any formulated theology ever expressed. They say religion is a name given to the invocative appeal of humanity and to evoke the evocative response of the greater life that is to come. They say that this will be the fusion of faiths, that the concept of a world religion and the need for its emergence is widely desired and worked for. The workers in the field of religion will formulate a universal platform of the new world religion. It will work of loving synthesis. It will emphasize unity and fellowship of the Spirit. It will channel and sense activities of the Christ, the world teacher. The platform of the world religion will be built by many groups working under the inspiration of the Christ. Christianity, however, has laid itself wide open to attack. The masses of thinking people are aware of this. Unfortunately, these thinking people are still a minority within the churches. Nevertheless, it is a thinking minority. When it is the majority, will spell the doom of churchianity and endorse the spread of the true teachings of the Christ. The predestination of religious truth in the past has been blocked by the growth of this religious spirit. Today, the religious spirit is higher than ever, and theology has brought mankind to the very gates of despair.
And that is why, see, that's not just doctrinal differences, but differences in differences.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, the way that was worded? This is how they're going to take us over. This is how they're going this is how they're socially engineering us.
And you said
behind this is the Tavistockian model.
You say something about evidence and proof.
Right.
Of
there's two different things.
The coming one and how he will prove he is the true Messiah or Christ. Well, they talk about this in here. They say without any shadow of a doubt, he will be able to prove he is the one that has been highly anticipated and waited for.
Well, okay.
The source of all great world religions, the philanthropist, the head of the spiritual hierarchy.
Okay, and how this all connects, because people may be saying, well, wait a minute, how does all this connect?
And
who gives a darn? You know, we talk about Nazi Germany here. We talk about Tavistockian models. We talk about, you look at the headlines today, okay? Just look at the headlines, whether it be on Drudge or your favorite news site. Now, I'm not talking about alternative sites. I'm talking about your CBS and MSNBC, the corporate media. And what we're seeing here is Freudian mass brainwashing. And this is compliments of the Tavistockian Institute, which is laying the groundwork for the social engineering, the mental engineering, the intellectual engineering, the religious Christian engineering. That's right. I said Christian. In other words, Christians are being programmed through Freudian mass brainwashing. As much as it might surprise you, well, this goes back to Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany really was an experiment, some will say, in Freudian mass psychology. What it means is that the Nazis shared with Freud, and Freud, the Nazis, they shared the same belief system that man as a sinful beast who is a sinful, let me say that again, man as a sinful beast who is allowed to exist under strictly imposed laws, that's what man is. Sinful and existing within this mire of sin, excuse me, but allowed to exist under strictly imposed laws. Man, according to Freud, as well as the Nazis, man is not made in the image of the living God. Man has made God in his image for the purpose of easing the pain of his existence. And that I really want you to think on that statement during the break, okay? Man is not made in the image of the living God. Man has made God in his image for the purpose of easing the pain of his existence. We're going to be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.